And a happy Father's Day to everyone this morning. Happy Father's Day. Glad to have you all here with us. And if you're visiting with us, a special greeting to you. And if you are a regular attender or a member here, I trust you'll take the time to have a great ministry after church today and go find some folks you don't know and introduce yourself. And we have some visitors from a far, far, far away place. The Vesses are here with us today, our missionaries. We're so glad that they're here. And he's going to close us in prayer later on. Also, I do believe that we have a gift for all our fathers. Is that correct? And that will be handed out at the back as we go. Proverbs 20, verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7. It reads this way. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to just take a breath and pause and think about the amazing Father that you are. And now, Lord, we think about as well the calling you've given to all of us. And some of us play the role of dad as a biological father, and others play the role of dad as a mentor, a coach, a teacher, a friend. And the responsibilities that we have and the privilege we have to help young men and women grow in their faith and the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray even now, Lord, that you will work through this message today to encourage us and to inspire us how we can be better fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to reflect on two essential qualities of a great dad from this one verse, all right? But I'm going to start in reverse a little bit. I'm going to go with the last phrase that deals with blessed are his children after him, because I think if I ask you a question, Dad, and I pass the mic around, what's your goal for your kids? What do you want? What do you want those kids to be like? What do you want them to have? What do you want them to know? What do you want them to be? If I pass the mic around, I think we're going to get some pretty good answers, and there's going to be a variety of answers, but I would hope you would want them to be blessed. Do I have an amen from any dad in here? Okay, so when we think about that, we got to ask the question, what is that? What is blessed? What exactly is that? So we're going to start this message in reverse by looking at the last phrase, blessed are his children. Now, you may be here today and say, well, I don't have a child, but you may be a mentor. You may be a coach. You may be a teacher, as we talked about in the prayer time. The idea that God has given you an opportunity to invest in someone else's life. And so I want to look at what does it mean, first of all, by blessed. Blessed. Well, we begin by the idea that blessing has to do with having a great impact on children or those around us. In the Bible, to be blessed often means experiencing joy with and fulfillment of walking with God. It's experiencing joy and fulfillment walking with God. Here's the phrase you hear a lot, God's favor. That's how it's translated quite a bit. And actually, I think it's the word blessed is used over 250 times, maybe a lot more than that. So it comes up a lot, and oftentimes you hear the word favor. Maybe you've said it. Maybe someone said it to you. Maybe you've heard it. May God's favor be on you. Oh, I pray that God's favor. So the word favor pops up. Well, that comes from this Hebrew word meaning blessed. But I want us to understand a little bit about but the idea of favor is always intertwined with a relationship with God. Now, this is going to be important. We got to get this or we're going to miss the whole idea of blessing. Isaiah said it this way. These, and chapter 66, verse 2, these are the ones, this is God speaking, these are the ones I look on with favor. So there's the word. He doesn't use the word blessed, it's translated favor. These are the ones I look on with favor. Are you ready? Here it comes, because we use this phrase, sometimes we use it in prayer, sometimes we use it in proclamation of faith, but here it is from God's mouth. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at my word. Did you catch that? Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at my word. So being humble, being repentant, being obedient to the word is all connected to a relationship that the individual has with God the Father. So that puts a whole another level now. It's not just me saying, may God favor you. Of course, that's a great thing to pray over someone and to say to someone. But to understand that favor from God is connected with a relationship with God, those who are contrite, humble, repentant, and walking with the Lord. So with that being said, is that your goal for your children? Is that the goal for the people that God has put under you? Because listen, a good father will bless his children. He will provide an experience, an opportunity for them to know God and experience God in the right way so they can have favor with God. So the question then comes down to, and this is the first part of the verse, what qualities does dad need to have that, make that happen? That's really what we want to know today. Okay, I got it. I want my kids to experience God. You want your kids to experience God? Do you want your kids to walk with God and have the favor of God through the relationship with God? You got it? So, okay, so what are the two things that are important and necessary? That's where the first part of the verse helps us. And I got to tell you, the two words are similar. I'm going to nuance them a little bit, but there's a lot of crossover here. But we'll make a distinction. So let's go back again. There are two qualities, and the first one comes up like this, the righteous. The righteous. I bet you could probably define that word for me, right? The righteous. So our first essential quality of a great dad is for him to be righteous. Whew. Well, so the Hebrew word righteous is something that you possess. So, Dad, you don't have to answer that loud, but here's the question. Do you possess righteousness? Are you righteous? I bet most of us would say, well, there's no way I'm righteous. I know who I am. People who know me know who I am. And I face challenges to, you know, do the right thing all the time. I'm not a perfect person. So you probably would feel uncomfortable, at least I could say that. You might feel uncomfortable with someone describing you as righteous, except that's exactly how the Bible is describing a father who blesses his children, ones who is righteous, which makes us all back up and say, well, forget it, I can't do it. But I'm here to tell you today, here's the good news, you absolutely can. You absolutely can be righteous. How in the world is that possible? By the way, you're not the only person that maybe asked that question. There was a great man, you may have heard of him, Martin Luther. Anyone heard of him before? Leader of the Reformation, right? God used him. He struggled with this. This is before he even became a believer in the faith. He struggled with the idea of being righteous because he was honest enough reading Scripture, and he says, man, how in the world the righteousness of God is the only way that a person can come to a relationship with God? How is that possible? He had a real conundrum. He understood that he was a sinner. He understood, what does that mean? That he broke God's law. He wasn't a perfect man. He did things that were wrong, and because of that, he did not have a relationship with God that he ought, and sin is what separated him from God. Sin separated him from favor from God, and sin would keep him from heaven and from God forever and ever. He got that right. And so God got his attention one evening. As the story goes, he was walking home. He was actually a law student, I believe, at first. And he was going home, and a great lightning storm. How many of you love lightning storms? Anybody like lightning storms? How many of you don't like lightning storms at all? Yeah, so this must have been the lightning storm of all lightning storms, and it's coming down, and he got so scared, he literally thought he was going to die. Seriously, I think it was God getting his attention. And he cried out and said, oh God, if you save my life, I promise, you know, I will give myself over to you fully or whatever. That kind of a prayer. Maybe you've had one or two of those in your life. And so he gets there, but he fulfills it. He survives the storm, and he's going to give himself over. The problem was, as he studied the Scripture, and by the way, he was a great theologian. As he's studying the Scripture, he's beginning to realize, I can't attain what God is asking me. So he's frustrated. He has something in his spirit, in his soul. He realizes, doesn't matter how hard I try. I try and I try and try, and I can't do what God asked me to. He understood something, that he was a sinner. In fact, he would spend, according to history, up to 6 hours in confession. How would you like to be the priest in that one? So when his friends, true story, saw him coming. Here comes Martin. They're scrambling. Who's going to listen to confession? He would wear them out. And in fact, one of his friends finally said, Martin, would you please, when you come, would you just come with big sin? Just do the big stuff. Forget all these small things. Just don't. But you see, Martin Luther was a better theologian than they were. He understood something. Any sin is an abomination to God. You know, some of us are really bad sinners, and some of us are really nice sinners. Right? But in God's eyes, we're sinners. And he was terrified, especially when you can read it through Romans. When he's reading through Romans, he's reading in chapter 3, and you've probably read those verses as well. In fact, if you want to, you can see the transformation right there. In Romans chapter 3, we have, he's studying it. In fact, he's teaching it. His friends, he was so overwhelmed with this whole concept of trying to be righteous. His friend says, why don't you teach Romans? So without having a relationship with God at the time, he says, I'll do it. So, you know, Romans is one of those easy books you could teach, right? Yeah. So he gets to verse 20. Are you ready? And he reads this, and he's teaching it, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. And that terrified him. He realized it didn't matter what I did, how hard I tried, because even if I was really good at almost keeping the law all my life, even if I did keep the law, there's nothing in the law that will justify me. In other words, that will save me. In other words, that will make me righteous before God, which is the only thing that God will accept, is a pure righteousness. He was terrified. Now, here's the thing before we move on. Dads, moms, everybody. This is why people, I think, sometimes have a lot of lack of peace. They're trying to attain something they cannot attain on their own. It's an impossibility. I don't know what you're listening to or what you're being taught or what you're hearing. The righteousness that God demands, God supplies. So if you go on, you go on, you say, whoa, what in the world? Really? I need a righteousness of God? Yes. Here's the good news. Are you ready? He went on to verse 21, and thank God for verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested. It hears in a very important word, apart from the law. Woo! Okay. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And at that moment, the light came on, and he realized it's not by the works that I do, it's not the efforts that I give, it's not by even committing myself to all these good things, even ministry, all the days of my life. It is through faith in Jesus Christ, and what happens is, and what happened at the cross, God's Son, the holy, righteous one, the perfect one, shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. And so when we come to him, we come unrighteous. We have nothing to bring to God that's going to save us. We come unrighteousness, and you come humbly. You come with a contrite heart. That's a repentant heart. The idea of I recognize my sin, and I recognize who you are, the Holy Son of God. And you get something amazing that happens right there. There is an exchange. God takes upon the penalty of your unrighteousness, and God gives you his perfect righteousness. But that comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So whatever you're listening to or have heard before, it comes right out of the scripture, the text here. The salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's how you come. That's how you come. You say, man, I've been in church all my life. I've been teaching. I've been doing all these things. So Martin Luther taught pretty. He was teaching Romans, and he hadn't come until he read that, and he realized, it's Jesus. That's who I need. So What's all this about then? Well, the first word in our verse today was the righteous. If you want to bless your children, you must be righteous. What's that all about? You must have an inner transformation, a complete change from the inside. Everything that's on the inside without, apart from Jesus Christ, it's not, you're going to not have the thing that you need to be that great dad, to help them experience and to know God, to point them to God, and to do all those things that will help them grow in faith and know who they are and their purpose in life. And as a father, you need the righteousness of God. And if you're here today, you have not trusted Jesus Christ, don't wait one more minute. Don't wait till I get done here. Right now, call out to God and say, Lord Jesus, I want that exchange. I'm bringing my unrighteousness, my sin to the cross, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and I'm trusting in you and you alone for my salvation. Do it now, because that's the first essential quality. You must have Christ in your life. All right? You got that? Everybody clear on that? I could go over the whole thing again. I'm not in a hurry. We got to get that straight. We got to get that straight. So, essential quality, transformation. You're going to need it. Here's just a little example of how that works. This is one of my favorite. I've got a lot of favorite missionary stories. I've got a list of them. This is one of my favorite. It comes from Doug. Everybody remember Doug? Mr. Brovere? And when he told me this story, I just fell over laughter. This is perfect, though. So he's in a particular culture in some African nation. I do not remember, and forgive me, I don't remember the name of the tribe. But if you want to call, write Doug, first of all, he'd love hearing from you. Then you can say, hey, I'd like to hear more facts about this story. It's a good story. So this tribal leader, I think, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, heard what I just shared with you, how it doesn't matter who you are or what you try to do, it's who Christ is, and having the exchange, trusting Jesus for your salvation. So he did. And he was transformed. See, that's what happens. Righteousness helps transform you. And if you're in Christ, guess what, Dad? You're righteous. Now, we're going to talk about what that looks like, but that's who you are. And by the way, everybody, the only way you could get to heaven is by being pure and righteous. Christ provides that. So this tribal leader gets saved. So here's the funny part. I know this is, it's kind of funny. It really is. Oh, about a month later, the missionary comes back into the village or something, and the wife is just ticked off. The wife of this guy who got saved, she is so mad, she pulls that missionary aside and she starts giving him a what for. What are you doing? My husband, there's something wrong here. He is not, he can't be faithful. He's not, and she goes on this spiel about all these things he's not doing anymore. And one of them was, well, the missionary interacted and said, what is it that he's not doing? He doesn't beat me anymore. You see, in that culture, in that relationship, that was one of the ways that men dominated and showed their commitment and love was by beating. But when they found who Jesus was and read what the Bible said about relationships and what is right and what is wrong, he was transformed. She didn't understand it, and the missionary had to explain. That's what happens when Christ comes into your life. He changes you. He transforms you. So that's that first essential quality of being a great dad, an inner change, a spiritual transformation by trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Well, there's a little more to this, if I could just for a moment, of color and depth that needs to be made about this idea of righteous and righteousness. That we, if you do a study of it, you'll find it yourself. It's not that hard. I found it in like half an hour, seriously. Just going through different passages and things, there's more to this than just I'm declared. Okay? Here's a little bit of color to this whole thing. So in the Old Testament, the context of righteous and righteousness is always in covenant community of faith. You got to hear that, folks. It's not just me and God are okay. Well, I'm glad. Good. You trusted Jesus Christ. You're saved. You have a relationship with God. But that's not all. You read the Old Testament, you'll find it to be true. When God speaks about righteousness to his people, it's more than just the individual. It's the nation and the community, how they worship God and how they treat each other and serve him together. That is righteous. I don't get saved by working harder in the church. Salvation comes through grace alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone. That's it. You got that? But in God's eyes, when it comes to righteousness and being righteous, it is something that you and I enter into in covenant community. Now together, as a called ones of God, we are able now to serve him more effectively. So listen carefully. If you really want to bless your children, here's the application. We'll move on to the second one and be done. You need to walk with God, Dad. And you need to have a responsible connection to the faith community. I can't stress that any harder. I probably could, but I don't want to be mean-spirited about it. It's not just that God saved you. Thank God he did. I hope that you're celebrating that today, the good father you sang about. It is that, but it is also, dads, you want to make a difference in your children's life, connect and serve with the faith community. That's how favor with God is manifested. That's it. So if you want to do that, when you possess this quality of righteousness, you got to trust Jesus. You got to love God. You got to love his church by sharing your resources, serving together, your time, your talents, and your treasures. That's how God views it. Look it up for yourself. Be a Berean. It's all through the Bible. All right, so that's the first. What's the second quality? The second quality, well, it comes out here. Look what it says here. The righteous who walks in his integrity. That's very similar to what we just talked about, but there's a little nuancing going on here. So the second quality, essential quality of a great dad, you got to have integrity. You got to have integrity. Whereas the first quality, righteousness, carries the idea of something we possess, something that we have, something of faith in Christ, in a community of faith. The second quality, integrity, carries the idea of expressing that faith in Christ at all times, in all places. The Hebrew word for integrity carries the force of being mature, of being complete. It's like a tree that has finally grown up, and it's firm, and it can take the storms, and it's there. It's not going anywhere. It's ethical. It's upright. In other words, it's this: be a godly man at all times, especially when no one is looking. Don't I have an amen with that? Thank you. I thought I had to start over again. That'd be the third time. That great theologian, Andy Taylor. Aaron, where are you? All right, he's excited about this. So Andy Taylor, you know, this is one of the episodes. I think it's called Barney the Realtor. I don't know if you remember that. So I had to kind of review it. I have seen it recently. So if you remember, Andy kind of scolded Opie for selling his bicycle without telling his friend about the problem with the brakes. That he tried to sell him a bill of goods, right? It's a great bike, but the brakes, he didn't tell him that the brakes didn't work. Andy got all over that. You got to be truthful. You got to tell him what's wrong with the thing before you let it go. And then a little later on, when the houses are getting sold, right? Andy is holding back on saying about all the problems that's wrong with the roof, right? I think there's a leaky roof. The pipes kind of make noises. I think there's cracks in the wall. And Opie's standing there, and he just starts blurting it out because he listened to his good father who gave good advice, but his father wasn't following the advice. And so Andy gets really upset with Opie, right? What are you doing? He says, well, Dad, I'm just doing what you told me to do. I thought you what you said. And if you remember, they're going back and forth. And as Andy's talking, have you ever had this as a dad? I certainly have. You realize your argument doesn't hold water. what do you realize? Well, this is really dumb. And so I think it overwhelmed him. Now, they didn't resolve it then, but the next time they came together again, Andy's heart, who's got a good heart, right? He wanted to be a man of integrity. He shifted and says, well, I got to tell you, the roof does leak, the pipes make noise, the walls have cracks. It's an old house, and this is what it is. You see, that's integrity. Being a godly man who is Christ-like, whether he's out in the open or giving good advice to others, but in places of secret or being alone. How does this help? It basically, by your integrity, will leave a legacy for your kids that will change them forever. They'll see that you're not a perfect dad. They already know that. That's okay. That's not what we're talking about here. But they'll see a dad who loves the Lord, is trying to do the right thing. Live ethically, talk ethically, and love. And so I'm asking you, fathers, here today, what kind of messages are you sending? And you say, well, my kids don't see me in what I'm reading or what I'm watching. I think we've already dealt with that. Integrity is about being that kind of man all the time. So if you're like me and there's times in your life when you're not that man, join the club. We all got a card. But don't let that keep you from coming to the cross. Not for salvation, but for confession. God, I want to make a difference. And I need to grow in my faith, and thank God you're a good father to me. You didn't toss me out the door when I messed up. No, you accepted me. You loved me. And I want to be that kind of man, because it's that man, according to this word right here, that's blessed. His children are blessed. Why? Because he makes a choice, though not a perfect man. He's declared perfect in God's eyes. He's righteous because of Jesus Christ. And he strives to be a man of integrity all his life. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to mess up. But by the grace of God and the love of the community of faith, that man will be strengthened once again and rise up and walk. And that's what we want. And that's what good dads will do. So, Dad, what kind of messages are you and I sending? What kind of messages are we bringing to our kids and our grandkids by our attitudes, our words, and our actions? And the things they don't even see in their with their eyes. So I'm calling on us today to be that great dad. Because I bet somewhere along the way in your life, someone was a great dad to you. Even if it was for a moment. You say, I don't know if I had a long-term great dad, but maybe there were moments where somebody was that way, who showed that integrity, who showed that kindness, who showed that righteousness, who cared enough for you to open up the Bible maybe, or to share a word of faith to encourage you where you are. You can be that person. You can. And God's called us to do it. So Lord, help us to bless our children and help us to design our lives. Dads, design your family life to glorify God in all you do, teaching them to observe his ways. For after all, are you ready? And here it is. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the blessed example that you have given to us throughout the Bible of so many fathers who, because it's written down, we know they're not perfect men, but they were called and they came and they trusted in God through faith. And you transformed them. You declared righteousness upon them. That's where the favor comes from. And I would pray for favor on all our dads as they enter into this covenant relationship with you and walk in it through integrity. For that is a family you want to be in. That's the kind of family, because that dad, he seeks what it means to be a good dad. That kind of guy, he's the guy, Lord, that seeks and looks and says, you know what? I want there to be laughter in this house, not tension. I want there to be joy. I want there to be a place where they can come and share their mistakes and the things that they do, and we can work through them together. I want to be that kind of dad as you are with us. And that happens when we have transformation, and that happens when we walk in integrity. And so I pray for our men today, Lord, because we're in a society that's just trying to blow that up all over the place. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So I pray, dear Father, now for anyone here, mom, dad, or kids who have not come in a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will make that decision now. And for those of us who have, may we make a reaffirmation of our own faith, of our own integrity, because of your great love and calling to us. We want our kids to be blessed, and we can make a difference when we bless you and them through faith and integrity. In Jesus' name, amen.